Reading together from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Announce every day how he delivers. Tell the nations about his splendor. Tell all the nations about his amazing deeds. For the Lord is great and certainly worthy of praise. He is more awesome than all gods. For all the gods of the nations are worthless, but the Lord made the sky. Majestic splendor emanates from him. His sanctuary is firmly established and beautiful. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord splendor and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the splendor he deserves. Bring an offering and enter his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is established. It cannot be moved. He judges the nations fairly. Let the sky rejoice and the earth be happy. Let the sea and everything in it shout. Let the fields and everything in them celebrate. Then let the trees of the forest shout with joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He judges the world fairly and the nations in accordance with his justice.
Well, another year has passed. A new one has just begun. Our school together started in what felt like an eye blink ago, and now we're reaching the end. Like most things in this life, there are very few things that do not start, and then as nothing really stands still, ends. This never-ceasing starting, progressing, ending cycle leads us to realise that we are all just travelling. When you stop and think about it, there are very few things that we encounter in life that do not have a natural and often logical progression. I suppose it's because of working in the confines of beginnings and endings. Most of us have probably spent a year working in order to get this measly time off for our holidays. All of us physically travelled here, having a starting and an end once we arrived, journeying to the camp. Our speakers worked through logical progressions with their talks. Beginnings, endings, journeying, age, growth, progress, decay, death. Time marches on, very little stands still and waits. The tide abides for, tarrieth for no man, says no one, says stays no man, nor time tarrieth no man, says the old proverb. We're passing through on a spiritual journey via this life that we pray leads to no end, a life with no end. Just as we're told of faithful Abraham that he was looking for a city that had firm foundations, whose architect and whose builder was our God. Being that God created very little that does not progress, it should then come as no surprise that the Father in his wisdom created mankind to be active, to be working. Even before the curse, Adam or mankind, the Adams, were put to work to dress and to keep the garden, to occupy their time with a physical representation of the spiritual work that we should all be accomplishing. And 6,000 or so years later, not much has changed. While our bodies age and decay and the various stages of life rush past, we are still expected to occupy our time dressing and keeping God's garden, as it were. I don't know how you feel, but I often reach the end of a year worn out now. We generally have busy lives with families, with ecclesia, with putting a roof over our heads. You know how it goes. And then couple that with what the world is throwing at us, complications in society, etc., etc. Often the end of the year is a very good time for us to stop, to reset, to take a real moment to pause and consider and reevaluate. That really is the beauty and the strength of gathering together, of the enjoyment that we have, is it not? A little pause in the hustle and the bustle of our lives, and a taste of perhaps what lies ahead. You see, whilst our bodies have an expiry date set on them and we might become worn out now and then, we have this tremendous confidence, don't we, in realising that we are only actually at the beginning. We are standing on the edge of the promised land. We are sitting on the brink of eternity right now, something that has no end. Just like the bookends of the Father's purpose that we see in Genesis and Revelation, tonight in music, hopefully, we're going to set our own bookends, to have the opportunity to take a little journey, a little journey of worship and meditation through music. We're going to take a moment to remember perhaps the beginnings of our faith, of really wanting to see Jesus working in our lives, the wonder of accepting the will of the Creator of this universe, of considering our journey that may seem a little tidal. You know, sometimes we're the Peter that's ready to jump over the edge and walk on water. But sometimes also we're that Peter that's sinking and saying, Lord, save me. We have the opportunity to remind ourselves with confidence what the amazing end of this time will be. To be recharged, reinvigorated, and to continue to fill out the pages of our life with the kinds of daily adventures that make us the people that the book could be written about. People who journey through this life full of faith, hope, and endurance, looking for new heavens, a new earth, wherein will dwell righteousness.
Thank you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke on you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my load is not hard to carry. Thank you. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Got a slightly different version. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Thank you.
With the way that God works, it's hardly surprising to us how in sync our differing speakers' words have been this week, is it? How that the messages have so neatly dovetailed together. We've been well reminded of the varying ways of the conquest that rages in our lives. It's a battle, isn't it? Not a picnic. The battle of self versus the will of God. We've been reminded of the call to action, of the active nature of our faith. Before us is the food, as it were, from heaven. The bread of life that leads us to never hungering. The wine that leads us to never thirsting. But it is food that leads to energy to continue steadfast progressing. Of working on our minds so that the little voice that we hear becomes wiser. Of shining a multifaceted life so that we are those gems that the Lord makes up as his own. Of remaining that malleable clay so that the master potter still has the ability to mould us. Or of being that gold in the earth that by the hand of the master craftsman is going to be purified. We're reminded in Hebrews 11 of the faithful. And it says of those that they were all commended for their faith, yet they did not receive what had been promised. For God had provided something better for us, so that they would be made complete together with us. So because we are surrounded by all of those witnesses, we must get rid of every weight, the sin that clings so closely, and run with endurance the race that is set out for us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. The full story is when we join them, brethren. The end is not written, because that never comes, because God will be all in all for eternity. You see, Jesus may have written some names in the dust of people who will not make it, but we know that there's another book sitting out there, isn't there? There's another list of names. And that's the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, as we partake of the emblems, we have the opportunity, do we not, to examine ourselves. And in many ways, each and every one of us is that woman who was caught in adultery, sitting there at the feet of our Lord, shameful. And we will examine and we will see that we do miss the mark. But hopefully in examination we become more self-aware, more reliant, a little humbler. And then we become like that tax collector that stood in the distance, unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven. And we can beat on our breast and we can say, Lord, save us. We are sinners. We're told, let a man or a person examine themselves, and so let us eat of that bread or drink of that cup. The meaning of that word examine is particularly apt, is it not, for the conversations that we've had so far. It carries the context of testing, of proving, of scrutinising, particularly to see if the item is genuine or not. As Strong says, it's related to metals. I'm sure your mind is now rushing to the concept of purity of gold, making sure the dross and other rubbish is removed. The words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if a man build upon his foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work for what it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall then receive his reward. Or your mind may be rushing to the thought of a coin, a metal coin, with an image and a superscription upon it, and the examination of it to see if that is genuine or counterfeit. And then we'll remember Christ's words, won't we? Whose is the image and the superscription? So render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and the things to God that are his. In working out our genuineness, we're week by week seeking to be a little more like Jesus and a lot less like ourselves. We're coming to reevaluate the effect and the impact that the cross carrying should have, or hopefully is having on our lives, to acknowledge the weaknesses that we have in ourselves, and to rely on the strength that we have in our Lord and in our Christ, and to remember that we are not doing this alone. There is one reunion in the kingdom that, by God's good grace, selfishly, I hope I see. In the noise, in the drama, in the dust, in the pain of our Lord's obedient trip up to that hill of sacrifice, a man was dragged out of the crowd. And he shared that burden of that cross with our Lord. None of us knows what that situation would have felt like. The dread of the cross looming, the responsibility, the physical pain, the jeering, everything that went on. And then all of a sudden, that burden just a little lifted. Just enough to help our Lord to get through. If our Lord turned and looked and thanked that man, we'll never know. But I'm sure one day he will thank that man. One day you and I will meet the man who is helping each and every one of us carry our crosses. One day, face to face, we will see him as he is, and this part of life will be done. We now have a few moments to remember him now.
Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for your sacrifice, for the hope that it gives us. In the bread, we see darkness. In the wine, we see glorious light. In the bread, we see dirt. In the wine, we see diamonds. In the bread, we see but dust. In the wine, we see dew. In bread, we see foolishness. In wine, we see wisdom. In bread, we see selfishness. In wine, we see selflessness. In the bread, we see foundations on sand. In wine, we see foundations on rock. In the bread, we see Jericho. In the wine, we see the New Jerusalem. In the bread, we see spiritual sleepiness. In the wine, we see spiritually awakened. In the bread, we see our shadow. In the wine, we see the wonderful light of the kingdom. In the bread, we see our carnal mind. In the wine, we see our mind transformed. In the bread, we see death. In the wine, we see life. In the bread, we see lost. In the wine, we are found. In the bread, we see shame. But in the wine, we see joy. In the bread, we see our fears. In the wine, we see your love. In the bread, we see our sins. In the wine, we see your forgiveness. In the bread, we see our doubts. But in the wine, we have confidence in your grace. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Thank you. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy great and thy holy name in all the earth. Such a privilege and a blessing for us to be together as we have considered the sacrifice of thy Son and have remembered him in bread and wine. We are amazed at your compassion and your love for your creation, and the amazing way that you have reconciled the world to yourself. We are entirely and completely unworthy of your grace and mercy, and unworthy of the calling which you have offered to us and the promise of life in the age to come. We've considered thy Son and remembered his sacrifice. And as we prayed individually, we also now pray collectively that you will forgive us for thy Son's sake, that you will forgive us for all of our sins, that you will wash us thoroughly and put our sins far away from us. We thank you for this time of refreshing, not just this evening, but in these last few days, for the encouragement and the strength which we derive from our time together around your word. And as we bring our evening's activities to a close, we echo the words of your servant David and ask of you but one thing that we seek, that we may dwell in your house all the days of our life, to behold your beauty, to meditate upon you, to worship you, and to serve you in your presence. We pray that you will hear our prayer and pray that you will answer us with peace, as we ask in Jesus' name, amen.